Well, howdy, roofers, and welcome to Roofer Growth Hacks, the podcast that is dedicated to highlighting those in the roofing industry, learning how they overcame growth challenges with creative growth hacks and connecting them with others in the roofing industry. I'm your host, Chris Hunter, founder and chief marketing officer of roofingsites.com. I'm also the author of The Ultimate Guide to Digital Marketing for Roofers. Got a little story for you. David Lupberger with Contractor Exit Strategy and author of The Managing the Emotional Homeowner is a former general contractor that built and sold his remodeling business 15 years ago. Since then, he's been helping contractors build exit strategies for their business as well as to get them out of the day-to-day operations of their company. So be sure to listen up as David shares some really awesome growth hacks. Well, we have got a special episode here with a good friend of mine, David Lupberger. And David, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your entrepreneurial journey?
Quite a story. So we just need about a couple hours for that, but I'll try to shorten it. All right. So make a long story short, I've been a full service general contractor up till about 15 years ago. So truly general contractor working within the trades, coordinating all the work that had to be done. And then about 15 years ago, moved back to Boulder, Colorado, and wrote a book over 20 years ago called Managing the Emotional Homeowner, which is at the core of every general contractor's experience. And so based on my experience, I got to segue into working with contractors and basically talking about the experience that they're delivering. I still do a lot of public programs. I was just in Cincinnati about a month ago. And as you can see, I'm in my 60s and I begin posing the questions to my audience, you know, what are you doing to begin to prepare your company for transition, your personal transition? And I'm being met with silence and they're not even thinking about it. And the reality is, and it's not about exiting. It really is about, are you creating a business entity that can be transferred? Can it be monetized? How do I remove myself from day-to-day operations? And the focus of this is don't sell it. But truly, if you can remove yourself from day-to-day operations and create a nice income stream, man, what more can I ask? But fundamentally, we will be exiting at some point. And there's a stat from Forbes magazine that you ever heard the term the silver tsunami?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, which is, guess what? People like me getting retirement. Uh-huh. And the stat was 250,000 businesses will be put up for sale by 2030. Of that, 80% of those businesses over 200,000 will not sell. They're not saleable. All right. The owner is the business. Of the remaining 50,000, 36,000 will sell with concessions and huge discounts because of, again, weaknesses. Only 14,000 will sell for a desired price because the owner prepared the business for that transition. You know who Michael Gerber is? He wrote the E-Myth.
Yeah.
So Michael Gerber, and this has been kind of my mantra from the beginning, build your business with the end in mind.
Love it.
Yeah. All right. It's not an end in itself, but what are we building? What's the legacy? And how do I build within this structure an opportunity for this business to continue for the value of not only my employee, but my clients, the trade contractors, the supplier relationships? You have value. So let's begin to plan to do that. That's a long answer to your question.
No, that's great. And so, you know, what you said there completely resonated with me. I had a friend recently that exited his business, and it was a contractor business, very specialized. So I'm in College Station, Texas, and he worked for basically for A&M, did all of the water treatment stuff for all of the labs at A&M, at Texas A&M, right? And he was the guy. He was like the guy, but he was the only guy. And when he retired, I asked him, I was like, what'd you sell your business for? He's like, I couldn't find anyone to buy it. I think about that kind of stuff with my own business. So that's I love that you're talking about this and bringing this as awareness to the community. So when should someone start thinking about that? When should a contractor, entrepreneur, whatever, it doesn't matter what business I am, when should you start thinking about that?
You can see my answer coming here.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, always build your business with the end in mind. Now, any business has 12 to 14 primary functions. And I'm thinking under sales is marketing, contract development, estimating, and completing the actual agreement. Under production, then, are the installers and whatever, you know, installers and helpers. under administration then is not only accounting, but the day-to-day paper trail and office flow. And as we grow these businesses, we are wearing all those hats. We wear all of them. Yeah. The reality is, if you're going to grow, how do you delegate? And how do you begin to prioritize? What can I give away? And a very simple answer is, let's say you get to $1 million in annual sales. So the comparison I like to use is, now let's divide that by a traditional 2,000-hour work year, 40 hours a week times 50 weeks. You're generating revenue at $500 an hour. So now let's pre-prioritize your activities. What are you doing? What should you be doing? And let's get back to why you got into this to begin with. So what do you do well? And if I actually work with people to do a company organizational chart, and I give them a template, and I'm going to say, fill this out. And I just say, so do you like eight roles? Do you like them all? And it's, of course not. Well, it's like, let's change it. So let's begin to look at, how do we delegate that? How do we make sure we're putting the right person in the right seat? Let's create a position description, and let's begin to do this. And then just over time, begin to delegate these functions. And imagine getting yourself out of those day-to-day demands that you really don't like doing. And guess what? That's freedom.
Yeah.
And then really focusing on what you do best, which is why you started the business to begin with.
Love that. Absolutely love it. Is there like a number one thing that you see that people just absolutely hate, want to get off their plate? Like, is there like the 80-20 rule? Which one is the 80% that people want to get rid of?
It's usually in the accounting side. Yeah. And I come back to
one of those.
Accounts payable, accounts receivable. You're setting up a chart of accounts, so you're getting real numbers. Is the chart of accounts correct? It's doing that accounting function.
Yeah.
And as soon as one of my clients tell me, you know, my wife does that, it's like, stop. All right. If she's not a bookkeeper, she's doing it because she wants to help you. Stop. All right. Let's put somebody, the right person, in the right seat. Let's give you back that time. You'll make more sales. Don't worry about paying for it. We'll figure that out. We get somebody back in that seat who's not only better at it, but they'll do it faster and they'll take it off your table. So that accounting function comes up again and again and again. And all I can say is, stop it. All right. That's not what you're not a bookkeeper.
Yeah. And that's something that is, you know, if you go back to your $500 an hour, you know, thing, that's not something that you're going to pay $500 an hour for, right?
No, imagine, and again, I can create this scenario. It's a part-time role. Mm-hmm. Outsource it. Yeah. Imagine a mother in your community who has bookkeeping experience, and you can say, for 3 to 4 hours a day, 4 days a week, you can work from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., drop the kids off at school, do this, and you're done by 2 o'clock to pick them up after school. It's a wonderful part-time job for somebody who will appreciate the work, who has the experience. So there are avenues to find the good people. It's not an employee. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
So there are avenues to find people who can do this better, faster, and save you. And if I can save you 10 hours a week, the other analogy I like to use is, imagine I gave you another 5 hours a week to sell.
Yeah.
20 hours a month. I'll ask them, what are you selling now? So then, well, let's go back to $1 million in annual revenue. And how many hours a week are you selling? It's never over 10 hours a week.
Yeah.
All right. Because of the demands of running a business. So, man, if I gave you 20 hours a week to sell, can you pay for that bookkeeper?
Oh, yeah.
Not only the bookkeeper, but, you know, another project manager. I mean, suddenly you begin to see what's possible here. But that's the demand of running a business. All right. And I guess that's my key function is here. We're an industry of really capable technicians, a really capable mechanics. And my job is, what I'm trying to do is help people become and think like a business owner, which is, this is really what you're doing this for. So I don't want to change what you like doing, but let's add those power tools that allow you to do this more profitably.
Absolutely love it. So when you're talking about those power tools, what kind of tools are we talking about? Is there certain specific things that you do as you come and help these contractors?
It's like, I start with a given company organizational chart. And like I said, I give people a template, and nobody really thinks, well, no, I sell roofing. Well, wait a minute. You know, let's really break down what is involved under the sales heading. What are the steps in getting the people to call you? What's your follow-up look like? Who does the estimate? Who does contract prep? Let's look under production. Who then coordinates delivery? Who's overseeing the work that's being done and the actual work of the installer? Then let's go into admin. You know, it's not only the accounts receivable and accounts payable, daily paper trail, communicating with clients and vendors, getting all that done. So suddenly this vision starts to expand. And I'm going to say, so here's a sample. Tell me who's doing all these things. So their name is in 7, 8, or 9 boxes.
Yeah.
And so the whole point is, let's change this. All right, let's just pick 2 boxes, and I'm going to show you how to delegate those functions. I'm going to show you how to do it. I'll give you examples. I'll write the job description with you. Then I'll work with you. I work with another third party who does employee assessments.
Yeah.
And it's within the construction industry, and it'll break down certain roles within the company. So office management, sales, estimating, production manager, installer. I ask this gentleman always before you start delegating, let's do the assessment. Let's make sure the person has the skills and the aptitude to do that project, you know, to do that, to fill that role.
Yeah.
So can I put the right person in the right seat? And then let's just put my expectations in writing. I call that a job description. And are you using chat at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
heavily. Oh, Lord. All you got to do is saying, give me a sample position description for an estimator for a residential roofing company. And within 30 seconds, you're looking at that. And then I have 2 more suggestions. I said, add KSAOs. And this is an HR term. It means knowledge, skills, abilities, and other qualification.
Love that.
And that in another 30 seconds. And then I say, add KPIs, key performance indicators, to this position description. I got to wait another 30 seconds. What I've done is I've not only created a position description that I can edit, it's not complete, but it's done 80 or 85% of the work. And I've done this in 10 minutes. Now I can edit this, and I've not only created a job description, but I've created the key performance indicators, which allow me now to evaluate performance. And I can document what are those things that we will be reviewing in an objective format. Are they meeting or exceeding expectations? I put it in writing. I sit down with the employee or potential employee. Let's review this together. Do you have any questions? If they don't, they sign. I sign. When somebody signs, they're saying, I understand and agree. Now, it's no different from a building plan. I put it into writing. Let's implement the plan.
Love that. This is sounding a lot like EOS, right? Entrepreneurs.
I probably parallels. Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, they charge a lot of money. And again, they do great stuff.
Yeah.
But some of these EOS implementers, I mean, it's pricey.
Yeah, we self-implemented, you know, in our company 2018. We're still working on it, right? I'm sure we would have shortcutted it quite a bit with an implementer, but we self-implemented. But yeah, the KPIs, that's a scorecard item right there, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah. Love it.
Put it in writing, and we come back to, I don't want anybody to walk in. I've been asking the contractors I work with, are you doing employee evaluations? And on more than one occasion, no. And I'm going, why? And the answer on more than one occasion has been because employees walk in and saying, I want a raise. And if you've got any kind of where every year they get some kind of bonus or some kind of whatever, let's move out of entitlement and let's move into some kind of objective measure. So if I can include KPIs within my job description where people know what they're going to be responsible for, I'm now moving into an objective format. Then I got a simple little evaluation form that I add to that job description. And on each job task, it's a 1 to 5 rating. And I ask the employee, you rate your performance on a 1 to 5 basis, 1 being, I'm not doing it, 5 being, I got this. And then I ask the direct manager or the owner to also do the evaluation for that person. And we put those 2 score sheets next to each other. And guess what? If that person is 90% or better, they may deserve a raise. All right? They're doing what you've asked. But if they're at like 70%, and this won't come as a surprise, you can say, here are some areas where you're just not performing. and you're asking me for a raise. Can I give you more training? What is it you're missing? How do I support you? But we've turned now into an objective review and a conversation. Will the person step up? And guess what? It goes both ways.
Love it. And when you're evaluating, do you also evaluate on things like your core values for the company? Or what is beyond the KPIs? What are the things that you're evaluating on?
Again, I just start with ChatGPT because it gives me a very, very quick response. Nice. And then that gives you a template to work from. So add those things. And it's a great question because the core values are so key to the culture of a company. I just don't, when I've asked people, do you have job descriptions? Do you've got written procedures? And you get this deer in the headlights look. You know, I don't have time. I don't want to. Well, let me do this with you. And in 15 minutes, give me a sample job, a position in your company. Let's do this together. Now, in 15 minutes, they're looking at this and I'm saying, how long would this take you to edit? 15 minutes? 20 minutes? Guess what? We've done it. All right. So let's get on it. I guess my job is to show people shortcuts.
Yeah.
How do we do this more efficiently? And this kind of goes back to my core commitment to what I'm doing is the industry being really full of capable artisans, mechanics, technicians, but there's no real training on the business front. And guess what? All of us have gone through that same steep learning curve, making all the same mistakes of learning how to run a business. And all I'm saying is, work with somebody, join a local association, mm-hmm. All right? Begin to mix with people like me, only because I'm older. There are older roofers within your local market, your local association. They're happy to share their experience.
Yeah.
All right? When I first started remodeling outside of Washington, D.C., I contacted one of the most capable remodelers and said, could I call him? And I said, could I sit down with you and just review how you've built your business? I'm impressed. And he said, of course. And so this led to a series of meetings and lunches. And if somebody called me and said, you know, what do you recommend? And I'm happy to respond. So let's just shorten the learning curve. If I can give you some templates, shortcuts, direction, examples, that's the whole point of this. You work hard.
Yeah.
And the other, I think, downside I see with people working so hard, it's the cost of their family.
Yeah.
And when I see the cost to people's not only family, but their own health, it's like, no, work-life balance is at the core of all this. So, you know, let's get this right. And you're an entrepreneur. You have a very unique skill set. When I say that, you've learned to live with risk because you don't survive if you don't sell. If you have employees, you got to meet payroll. 95% of the population cannot live with risk like entrepreneurs do, like roofers do.
Yeah, right.
So you have a unique skill set. Let's just make sure you're successful. Let's work on making this work for you and work for your family. I'm so key. I'm a little older, so my son's 28, but I'll ask clients, you know, do you have kids? If they say yes, and you're hearing, you know, what's more heartfelt for me, and they'll say 5 and 7, you know, 7 and 10. It's like, you can't make that time up. So let's not miss this. All right. Let's make some changes here to get this right.
Absolutely. You know, and we didn't all of us get into business to let the business run us, right? We got into business to have that freedom.
Quote unquote. Freedom. Yeah, that's pretty appropriate. Yeah.
Right. For those listening to that, I put air quotes up there, right? So
no kidding.
You know, we're in it for the time freedom, for the money freedom. You know, but if we let our businesses run us, what's the point, right? We could go work for somebody and for 40 hours a week, get a paycheck and go home. But us entrepreneurs, we don't want to do that, right?
No.
We want to be in charge. We want to be in charge of our schedule. We want to be in charge of money. And what you said really, I mean, yeah, your kids, you know, and I'm at that stage to where I'm seeing my kids, they're all teenagers now, right? And
yeah.
And one has gone off to college and so I'm starting to see, gosh, there was so much time that was wasted, you know, of not spending time with them when I should have, you know, and you can't get that time back.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm that's really at the core of what I'm doing also, which is it is work-life balance and how do we put this in the right priority?
So who would you say that your ideal client is that comes to you that you help?
A good question. So most of the people I work with are not under 40. And I'm not eliminating, I'm just saying contractors at 30, 35, and 40 still are working on just bulk strength and drive. And there has to be an opening where suddenly they realize at 35 or 40, this isn't working.
Yeah,
I could use some help.
Yeah.
So when they finally realize, I'm not doing this correctly, I could use some help. That leads to that first conversation, which is what's going on? What do you want to do? And then we build from there. But, you know, when you're 25, 30, or 35, you think anything's possible.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is, well, it is, but just do it the right way. And I can't emphasize enough, joining a local association, you know, working with you, take advantage of the experience in the industry. And I'm repeating myself here, but in an older contractor, they're happy to share their experience. They know how hard it is. And so calling somebody and doing the same thing that I did, which is calling this very successful contractor in Washington, D.C., saying, you've grown a great business. Can I talk with you about what you've done?
Yeah.
You know, what were the hurdles? You know, what recommendations would you make? He said, sure. And boy, those mentoring opportunities are priceless.
Yeah, I agree. I think I read it a long time ago in Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, right? Have your five people, your five mentors, you know, your group of people that you can do exactly that right there. And it's so, so important. I love that. So are there any common mistakes that you see roofers make other than the work-life balance, you know, and how can they avoid those?
It just comes back to, I ask people to, you know, train their replacement. I don't have time. Mm. It takes more time to train this person than me just doing it myself. And all I can say is, you're right. It's going to take some time for the first 10 to 12 weeks, but this is where we're going. So can you make a commitment to your business and to your family? You know, it's the definition of insanity.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't continue doing the same thing. It's not going to get better. It's not going to change. So how can I get you to stop saying I don't have time? So let's take incrementally, when I go back to my org chart, I usually tell people within 90 days, I can show you how to save 10 hours a week. Within 90 days, I'll put it together with you. All right? I'll walk you through every step. What would that be worth? And so it's getting out of that I do it myself mentality. That's not how you build a business.
Love that. Train your replacement and commit to it. That is so key. And, you know, I've learned the hard way on that one myself, you know. So looking forward, are there any industry trends that you're seeing that people should be paying attention to, that roofing company owners should be paying attention to, and how do they take advantage of them?
To me, again, we're in the right industry. I mean, are you working with both commercial and residential?
Yes.
Look, business is booming. I don't see anything stopping, but I come back to, and I learned this on my remodeling experience, I don't just sell a project, I sell an experience.
Love it.
And we've got a lot of technicians who really understand how to do a project well. But when people are spending $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 or more, how do you guide people through that experience?
Yeah.
How do we document that experience? What's the communication look like? How do we support that experience? I train my clients to do weekly progress meetings, and it's magic.
Yeah.
Because the owners know they're being taken care of. There's a regularly scheduled check-in time. And we did a kitchen remodel on our own house. And I was smart enough to hire one of my own clients. All right. One of these brief moments of excellence. And I had trained him about this weekly progress meeting. So every Friday at 1 o'clock. And remember, we're still living in the house. And you know, when you're spending a lot of money on a kitchen remodel, homeowners, what about this? Question, concern? Do they know? Should I tell them? I watched my client retrain my wife to basically every Friday, instead of calling, texting, what about this? She'd bring her list of questions because she knew we were meeting every Friday at 1:00.
Yeah.
And the project manager would bring his list of questions. And it's this wonderful pressure relief valve. And what I see good companies do is you're selling an experience. So how do we communicate that experience? Because people will pay more if they understand what they're paying for. But I need to document what that experience is and back it up you know, past client testimonials, video testimonials of people saying it was a nice experience. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I paid more. I used to be a contractor. Yeah. And even I was a little shocked at the price my client gave me.
Wow.
When it's all said and done, it was worth it. Wow. All right. He backed it up, and from demo to completion, 7 weeks. Wow. And he did it.
Wow.
And my sister did a similar renovation down in Littleton, Colorado. Hers went 7 months, and we just had them up for dinner. And she looked around and she said, "You got better value than we did."
Interesting.
And I come back to, what's the trend? Focus on the experience.
Yeah.
Communicate that experience.
Sorry, I'm writing this down because that's gold right there. And that's something that I've heard, right, is focusing on the experience, and something that I started working with my own coaching clients on, building that experience. Because, I mean, we're a marketing company, right? But marketing and sales and operations, it all, if you do it right, it all fits together.
And it's all hand in hand.
And it comes back to that relationship and the experience that they had of that whole project. If you think of it, and this goes for roofers, this goes for remodelers, it doesn't matter, any kind of contractor listening to this, is that if you're, you know, saying, okay, well, I'm just going to do the project to move on, you're missing a lot there, right? Because there's repeat business, and there's referrals, and there's testimonials that you can get. There's just all these things that you can build as assets to your company that you're missing out on if you're just going from one project to the next.
It's all relationship. I know on the residential side, it's all relationship, and not just with my clients. It's also with my trade contractors. It's with my suppliers.
Yeah.
All right. It's relationship, relationship, relationship. Mm-hmm. People work with people they like.
So we've done assessments on over 1,000 roofing companies of their marketing plans.
And wow.
One of the biggest trends that I saw, by the way, was one of the simplest things that you can do. And that's simply a monthly newsletter.
Okay.
Simple email monthly newsletter that goes out with educational materials. Nobody's doing it. I haven't found a single company that does that out of thousands.
Yeah. And the only thing I'd add to that is I do a couple times a month. I'll send out like a email, constant contact email. But what I do is I just, you know, if I open a newsletter and it's a page long, you know, I'm busy. I've got a lot on my mind. So instead, yeah, we incorporated putting one or two headers, which is saying, here's information, click here to learn more. Here's information. And then all I want to do is resonate. If one of my headings, people say, oh, that's interesting, mm-hmm, then they can click to learn more.
Right.
But they, within 30 to 45 seconds, they can evaluate the content of the newsletter,
right,
to decide to read more. And they don't unsubscribe because I haven't taken a bunch of their time.
Right.
And every now and then they'll get something and they'll say, oh, that's interesting. And they'll keep it.
It is about providing value, right? And that's really part of that experience is just helping to provide value to your customers and treating it as a lifelong experience. You know, so anyways, mm-hmm, going back to the focus on experience, I absolutely, absolutely love that. Okay, David, this is going to take us into the lightning round. We're going to pause here for a message from this episode's sponsor, RoofingSites.com. Since 2018, RoofingSites.com has helped roofers double their sales by getting their marketing right using the 4R roofing marketing system. If you're a roofing company owner wanting to grow your business, be sure to go to RoofingSites.com and sign up for a roofing marketing strategy session with me. Okay, we are back for the lightning round. We have one rule in the lightning round, and you have 1 minute or less to answer each of these questions. You ready, David?
I'm ready.
Okay, so number one, what is your favorite personal hack, book, or podcast?
Personal book. There's a book I read several years ago. I've actually reread it. Fascinating to me. It's called Kabluna, and it was a French anthropologist who went above the Arctic Circle before 1900, before snowmobiles, and lived with Inuit Eskimos for about a year. It is such another world, and what that was like, and when you only live in snow and ice, how your perspective changes. So fascinating review of life and adaptation, and even watching the anthropologist's own change in outlook and perspective after living with these Inuits and the impression they left on him.
Love that. All right. So next question, what is your favorite business hack, book, or podcast?
I go back to Jim Collins. So Good to Great And again, we're kind of going back to focus on the experience. And you're not just communicating to your clients, but empowering employees, you know, building a collaborative team, bringing people together to do what they do best, sharing a vision, a company culture where people know they do the right thing, and communicating that, you know, when questions come up, do the right thing. I'll support you. Don't think about it. And I think Nordstrom's, they've got something called 5 core values. And I think people have heard Nordstrom experiences. And I once had a Nordstrom sales manager come to one of my programs, and she read the 5 Nordstrom core values and described where a client came, but they had a special event, pre-Christmas, invitation only. And a client came over and said, you know, I don't find my winter coat. I think somebody took it by mistake. You know, can I get a coat to go home? Manager said, come over. Let's go to the rack, pick a coat that you like. Lady did, and she said, I'll have this back tomorrow. And the manager said, no, if you lost your coat here, here's your coat. Take this, right? Thank you for coming. And I look forward to hearing from you in the future. You begin to see the power of that experience, which you think she's going to come back again? Of course she is.
Of course.
That personal touch, that experience. Think in those terms. Do the right thing and empower your people to do the right thing.
Love that. So next question, what is the best advice that you've ever been given, and bonus points for how you actually applied it?
I come back to beginning to see the benefit of older contractors' experience. I once had, back in my searching days in my 20s, wondering what I was going to do. I was literally working at a shipping company, unloading furniture. And this was pre-Christmas, so from 7 in the morning till 7 at night. And hard work. Well paid, but hard work. And I'll never forget, one of the workers looked at me and said, what are you doing here? And I said, what do you mean? He just said, what are you doing here? Because he was probably in his 40s. I said, I needed some job. And he said, so you left school? And I said, yeah. And he said, go back to school. He said, you still have a choice. He said, I don't. All right. This is what I have to do to support my family. Go back to school. Do what you're supposed to do. And I've never forgotten, you know, this just acquaintance in a business setting saying, don't do what I did. And I come back to, you know, approaching experienced people and acknowledging you don't know it all and being open to saying, you know, can I talk with you about what you've done? Would you share your experience? What would you recommend? What are the biggest red flags? These are relationships that are, you know, priceless, and the information that people can provide, and their very personal experiences also. Like I said, this thing happened 40 years ago. I still have never forgotten this guy looking at me and saying, what are you doing here?
Yeah, so powerful. So awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. How can the Roofer Growth Hacks family get in touch with you, and how can we support you and encourage you moving forward?
I'm one of these older guys, and if somebody's interested in just having a conversation about their business, you can go to contractortransitionstrategies.com. There's a simple little exit assessment, but I think the key point I want to make is this is not about exiting. It's about building a business that removing yourself from the things you shouldn't be doing. You know, what does that look like? Where do we start? You know, what does the process, how does it unfold? So if somebody has any interest in just having a conversation, that's what I do. We just set up a time to talk. We talk for 30 to 45 minutes. And then we see at the end of the conversation, do you want to talk more?
Love it. Well, David, thank you so much for coming on Roofer Growth Hacks and sharing all of your knowledge with us just in this short amount of time. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for the invite. I've enjoyed it.
Well, how about that, Roofers? Was that pretty awesome or what? I know there were some valuable hacks that David gave to us. My favorite, I have like a whole page of notes here, but my absolute favorite was when he said that you really need to focus on experience. And what he meant by that was focus on the customer experience. And I highly, highly, highly recommend that. There's so many of y'all that are viewing it in your mind, and I say it, meaning every project, as just that, just a project, right? And you're moving on to the next one. And what I think that you should do is think of it as a long-term relationship, okay? And focus on that. And that's exactly what David was talking about there, and exactly what I think that should happen. And if you do that and you focus on that long-term, build out your customer journey, right? As they not only just reach out to you and your marketing, but build out every step along the way of how they interact with you and how you interact with them. Okay. For instance, a simple thing that you can do when the job is completed is to send them a thank you basket. Simple, right? Costs you about $50 to send something from gourmetgiftbasket.com or from, you know, wherever, to have some cookies delivered to them to thank them so much, right? It's something that no contractors do out there whatsoever. So that's just one of the simple things that you can do. The other thing I think that I took away from him really was join an association. Get to networking with people and get to talking with people that have been there and done that. This is something that I have done personally myself. I'm in a mastermind group with 300 other agency owners, and I get to talk with people who have been there and done that, which is great because I can ask them questions. Hey, I'm at this level. What should I look for? What are the red flags to look out for this situation, right? So it's important to have someone to help mentor you along the way. I think that is super, super important. And he said, lean on older contractors' experience, right? Lean on them and ask them, hey, how do I do X, Y, and Z? You know, let's say that you're having an issue with insurance. I'm quoting insurance quotes. Go find someone that can walk you through that, step you through that. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of Roofer Growth Hacks. I hope that you enjoyed this episode and that you connect with David online. I also hope that you connect with me on LinkedIn or Instagram or wherever that we are. Go to roofingsites.com and you can find me. Go to YouTube and look up Chris Hunter or roofingsites.com. Should be able to find me. I want to give a huge shout out to our sponsor, roofingsites.com. Since 2018, roofingsites.com has helped roofers double their sales by getting their marketing right using the 4R roofing marketing system. If you're a roofing company owner wanting to grow your business, be sure to go to roofingsites.com and sign up for a roofing marketing strategy session with me. Also, in the past year, I published my book, The Ultimate Guide to Digital Marketing for Roofers. If you're a roofing company owner and don't have this book in your hands, I will send it to you for free. Just go to go.roofingsites.com and I'll send you a free copy of my book. Well, roofers, join me next time when we connect with another great roofing entrepreneur and learn how they hacked their growth. Until then, I'm Chris Hunter. Thanks and gig 'em.